Welcome to Technology and the Arts, a podcast exploring the connections between technology and art. Episode 70 marks the 2014 return of the podcast and features lightly edited audio from a live Google Plus Hangout on Air conducted March 10, 2014. This special episode, focusing on the 39th edition of the Trenton Computer Festival, features an interview with co-founder and chair, Dr. Alan Katz, from the College of New Jersey, where the event will take place March 15th. We also discuss the return of Cosmos to TV, Marvel's Netflix deal, and Hoopla, a relatively new library-based streaming media service. All that and more is just ahead on Technology and the Arts for Wednesday, March 12, 2014. Now, here are your hosts, Brian Kelly and John Lemazny. Hello, and welcome to the first episode of Technology and the Arts for 2014. My name is Brian Kelly, and things are already going wrong. And you are?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm John Lemazny. How are you?
And together, we're going to explore the connections between technology and art with a focus on the 39th edition of the Trenton Computer Festival taking place at the College of New Jersey in Ewing, New Jersey on March 15th. John, it's good to see you again. How you doing?
Good to see you too, Brian. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you.
Yep.
So, what are you up to?
I am up to a lot. As you know, I have been focusing on consulting since last April. And I will tell you that 2014 has been explosive from a consulting standpoint. And things are really good right now. But I almost feel like we should talk about that process, but it doesn't have a lot to do with technology and art. It has a lot to do with luck, I guess. And I think the interesting thing is that consistency pays off, right?
Right.
And there are things coming up like TCF, the Trenton Computer Festival, which we'll talk about. But right now I'm working with Mercer County Community College as a consultant to do training in bringing people from Outlook over to Google Apps for Business. And I'm working with Rider University as a instructional technology consultant, helping them with a grant that they are working on in regards to science, technology, education, and math. And there is still Princeton Public Library, which I love as a platform. There is there are a lot of individual clients that I do individual work with. And WordPress has really emerged as a specialty for me. And I had not expected that. I thought that my consulting work would be mostly about graphic design. And there is graphic design and WordPress development, but WordPress has just been a fantastic platform for me to be able to help people to do business using technology, using open source technology, which particularly excites me. So I guess I just want to say, you know, sort of thank you to the universe. Things are going great right now.
Excellent.
How about you?
Well, since we're focusing on Trenton Computer Festival a little later on, I just wanted to mention that, you know, my Tandem with the Random podcast has returned. Three episodes have run so far this year. And the most recent episode, which came out last Monday, a week ago today, featured an interview with Dr. Alan Katz, a professor of electrical and computer engineering at the College of New Jersey and co-founder and chair of the Trenton Computer Festival. So I'm going to include an excerpt of that interview in the podcast version of this episode, and I'll tease it a little bit later. But personally, I've committed to getting in shape this year, and because I have the time. Oh, thank you. But I'm getting there. But I'm currently training for three big events, and the first one is the Broad Street Run, which is a 10-mile run in Philadelphia on May 4th. And then this one's weird. It was something I've always wanted to try, and I think this is like the one year I'm going to have a chance to do it. But it's the Atlantic City Triathlon, which is in there's a sprint triathlon in international, which is the Olympic version.
I thought the Atlantic City Triathlon was you go to a bar and you chug like a 40-ouncer, and then you jump into the water, and then you go and pull a slot machine arm. Is that not?
No. This is I'm running an international triathlon, which consists of a 1 mile swim, a 20 mile bike ride, and a 10K run.
Wow.
And that's on September 14th.
That's crazy, man.
So, yeah, you talk about Mercer. I actually got a pool membership at Mercer County Community College. So I've been swimming in the pool there, not lately because I've had a little uptick in work. But, around lunchtime, I was going to the pool for the last few weeks. And swimming 72 laps, which is a little more than a mile. It's actually 70.4 laps in their pool would be a mile. So I've been swimming like 72 laps, kind of regularly. So wow. I'm trying to get ready for the 1 mile swim. I mean, 20 mile bike rides I've done. It's just the issue of doing all in sequence. And, and I did 10K run last year, and I've been doing some training runs of that length. So, and I just did a personal best in a 10K just a few days ago. So
congratulations.
So I'm getting there. Yeah. Thank you. So, and then finally on November 8th, I am running in the Trenton Half Marathon. And last year I did the 10K component of that. They do the half marathon and a 10K, and I am going to do the 13.1 miles on November 8th, and I did a practice run in December. There was like a little, was it December? Yeah, I think it was December. It was like a little stretch where it wasn't snowing somehow. And, I went out.
It would have to have been a little stretch.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was like an 8 hour window where I was able to, go out for a run and I went 13.1 miles. So, I'm getting ready for all that. so it's a little crazy. I don't know why I've decided to do it, but I've committed myself to doing it. So,
well, I'm proud of you. Congratulations.
Thank you. So, I just have a few things I want to discuss before we talk about and real quickly, just like, go through it. I mean, we don't have to have a big discussion about it since, we're focusing on Trenton Computer Festival, but do you have anything you want to talk about before we get into that, or?
No, I guess I'm just excited right now because things are going really, especially well.
Oh, well, congratulations.
Thanks.
So, right after our fall season ended, I came across Hoopla, a streaming media service that brings thousands of movies, TV shows, albums, and audiobooks for free with your library card. Of course, that's if your library is participating in the program. And at the time, the list was very small. The list of participating libraries is very small, but that list has grown significantly since then. And three libraries here in New Jersey are listed on the map.
Which three?
They are the Mount Laurel Public Library.
Who I'm about to maybe do some work with.
Excellent. The Rahway Public Library and the Mahwa Public Library, which barely qualifies as being in New Jersey since they're right at the top. But those are the three New Jersey libraries.
They would feel very strongly that they are pure New Jersey libraries.
Yes, yes, yes. But so next time you're in your local library, ask if they have any plans to participate in Hoopla. And if not, tell the staff there, it's that 1025 not able to talk syndrome.
Oh.
So if not, tell the staff there to visit hoopladigital.com and ask them to consider getting on board with the program.
Yeah, I will. I mean, you know how much I interact with New Jersey libraries. I will certainly make them aware of the service.
Yeah. And another thing John and I talked about offline, and I was supposed to put a post up on the site and never did, was the announcement right after, again, that we finished our fall season of Marvel bringing what has now become known as the Defenders Project to Netflix, which includes original series based on the Marvel characters of Daredevil, Luke Cage, Iron Fist, and Jessica Jones. And then they're each going to have their own 13-episode series, and then there's going to be a miniseries where they team up to become the Defenders, which is it's kind of an ad hoc group in the Marvel Universe. The lineup changes all the time, and there's been different variations. It's a lot less stable than, say, the Avengers, which is unstable as it is. But, I mean, the Defenders are basically anybody who gets together and calls themselves the Defenders. But in essence, Marvel has created its own sub-channel on Netflix. And although it's not being described like that, but, it really is. I mean, it's kind of like the Marvel, network on the Netflix platform. And hopefully, it can be a prototype for such virtual networks on the Netflix platform or any other technology, that brings stream media to the masses. But, it's, again, though, John has been, talking about, how Netflix, can be the future of media consumption. And this is another, step in that direction.
Agreed. Well, I mean, I have been without cable for, I want to say, like 8 months. And there have been a few shows that I've missed, but I always catch up on them later in one way or another. Hint, hint.
Yeah.
But I don't miss not having TV. I certainly don't miss news. If something is important, I find out from social media.
Right.
If something is not important, I completely it is obliterated from my consciousness. I don't necessarily need to know about whatever some celebrity is doing from minute to minute. I don't need to know. If something is important, it rises through, it sort of bubbles up and shows up in my feed.
Right.
And the rest of it, I mean, popular media, there are maybe 5 shows that I watch regularly, and one of them was like Breaking Bad, So when, mm-hmm. when that was over, I don't know that I got excited about something else. Now, when Better Call Saul shows up, I guess I will, find a channel to gather those, but it will not be through Verizon or Comcast or, and we should talk a little bit about Comcast and their deal with Netflix.
Yeah.
And you remember how upset people were about SOPA and PIPA.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
even beyond that, Comcast and their, planned acquisition of Time Warner. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, and I mean, meanwhile, monopoly laws exist, but are they toothless?
Yeah.
I think it's the last throes of a death spiral for big media in a long trail, But they have a lot of money. They have a lot of money, a lot of power, a lot of influence. And, I could totally see them doing everything they can in order to manipulate with that size of media. I'm a little bit amazed that Comcast and NBC exist, as a single entity. It's that is ridiculous. Like, in a country where Bell was separated into separate companies because of their intensity of power, why would NBC and Comcast be allowed to form a company?
Yeah, I don't know.
It doesn't seem logical to me.
It does not.
Except that there's money involved.
Yep.
And lots of it.
Yep.
You know, and I don't even know if you and I have talked about the NSA.
Well, I mean, we have.
But I'm saying recently, like, we are in a really scary time.
Yeah. No. Yeah, we are. We are. It's, yeah, and I don't know what to do.
and you and I both have kids, and it's like, you know, I fear for the way that my kids will have to live in this world, you know, and where do you go? You know, Canada? it's a really frightening concept.
We discussed that. Of your many reasons of for you to move to Canada.
Yeah. Well, yeah, many, many reasons. Beautiful country. But, yeah, I mean, it's sad.
Yep. What isn't sad, and I'm going to switch gears so we can move on, so we don't, because it's already 10:30, is the return of Cosmos.
Oh, yeah. And I haven't seen it. That's one of the things I'm really sad about right now is I don't have Fox.
I think you can watch it online.
In its entirety, really?
Yeah. Yes, I believe. Yeah, it's online.
I'm going to look right now. Where? Like via YouTube?
Go to cosmosontv.com.
There. Wow. Yeah, but so here's an example. They will show the premiere, and that will be it.
Well, they're showing it on like 10 different channels. So I don't know if they're going to really hold on to it as much as they do their other shows.
Well, let's just talk about the content. So I have not seen the show, although I listened to the Fresh Air episode in which not Terry Gross, but her, you know, lackey interviewed Neil deGrasse Tyson, who is a hero of mine. I think he's a hero of yours.
Yes.
And I just feel like he's one of the brightest popular minds in our lifetime. I don't really like his podcast very much. He probably wouldn't like our podcast either, but I really don't. I feel like his podcast is somehow a diversion from his typical.
Okay, big life moment here. Little Jim.
Oh, is that me?
Ditching the training wheels and hopping out.
Oh yeah, there's some ads on that page. Sorry, ran into that earlier.
All right, turning it off. Sorry.
Nah, it's okay.
So, yeah, I think. When I heard that Cosmos was returning to television, I was kind of excited anyway, because the original series is dated, but also beautiful, you know, and shows the genius of what's his name?
Carl Sagan.
Carl Sagan, thank you. And I think that it could not be a more apt choice than to choose Neil deGrasse Tyson to be in that role.
Yeah, he's definitely a worthy successor to Carl Sagan, and the show, the reboot is definitely worthy of
the. I'm so happy to hear that, because I was concerned because it's Fox, you know.
It's, you know, in
why is that? Why is this show on Fox?
Because of Seth MacFarlane.
But why? I don't understand. Like, they would have to.
Seth MacFarlane, and I was going to mention this on when we had this little thread on your Facebook page, but he was a huge fan of the original, and I'm not sure the details of how he got involved, but somehow when he learned that there was a movement to get this off the ground, he wanted to be involved, and he wanted to give it a larger audience than just, say, PBS or something. So he wanted to bring it to Fox, and he has the pull. And what's funny, I think it was during a press tour or some kind of like press conference to announce it, you know, everybody else was being kind of diplomatic about it, but he went off and basically said that the reason he is passionate about this project at this time was how he is so fed up with science and rational thought and scientific method being just ignored and even despised in some circles. And he, you know, wants to show people, you know, on a massive scale that this is science, you know, this is how things are.
And how do you feel like the premiere episode did in terms of changing minds?
I mean, some of those minds are not going to be changed, but...
Of course, but I'm saying, you know, it does a better job or a worse job of conveying...
I think it does as good a job as it can. I mean, it is... The scope, the look, it's just very well done. And all I know is that it's much like the original, when the episode was over, you know, you just feel very, very small.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, they did the same thing that Carl Sagan did with the cosmic calendar year, and how all of recorded time, every person we've ever heard about or has ever been written about, if you compressed all of known history, 13 billion years or so, into one calendar year, the civilization has only existed in the last, I was like, last 15 seconds or so.
Mm-hmm.
Of December 31st, you know, all the rest of the year, you know, humans weren't even around. So it's very humbling. And it was a nice moment, and I won't spoil it for you, but there's actually a personal connection that Neil deGrasse Tyson makes with Carl Sagan and the influence he had on him. And it's kind of a nice ending part to the show.
They don't bring him back in like a hologram, do they?
No. It's a very personal.
Because I can totally see them like bringing him back as a hologram and Neil hugs him or something. Like, no, I don't want that to happen.
No. But Tupac shows up.
Tupac shows up. Well, that's fine. I think that's appropriate.
Hollow Tupac shows up.
Hollow Pac.
Which we found out wasn't even a hologram. It was, you know, just a...
Whatever it was.
Projection, basically.
Yeah.
But, So, Cosmos, it's great. I cannot wait, you know, for the remaining episodes of the season. I guess you could go on if it's successful. You know, I guess they could go on.
Of course. I bet it'll be a 3-season, 5-season show.
Okay.
I think. I mean, because I thought from the interview that I heard on Fresh Air that it was to extend the knowledge of the understanding that we have acquired since. You know, to talk about things like the... Higgs boson, you know.
Yeah, and they also, because I don't think it was, I think it may have just been catching on during the first run of Cosmos, the original, but they actually mention, you know, speculation of what's beyond our universe and, you know, are we just one of many bubble universes in a multiverse, or, you know, once you reach the end of our universe, you know, are there other universes on the other side? And they kind of showed this, they started out, you know, at Earth and then moved out, you know, into the, you know, the solar system, Milky Way, local group of galaxies, the local cluster, then, you know, the known universe, and then and then they kind of speculated like what's beyond, and that's how they're, this is how the season will progress. Whereas originally, I think Carl Sagan went from outside or from the furthest reaches of the universe towards Earth. This time we're going backwards. We're starting at Earth, on Earth, and going out into the edges of the universe. So that's why they were showing our the addresses of where we'll be visiting along the way. So
nice.
Yeah, it was very cool. It was very cool.
And I also heard about his analogy of the history of the universe explained as a calendar.
Yeah, that's what I mentioned before, the cosmic cosmic calendar, and how we're in the last waning seconds of December 31st, which is something that Carl Sagan did in the original, but it's the way they did it in this version, it's a lot more up to date. So
cool. Well, I'm looking forward to watching it, and thank you for bringing it to my attention that it was available for streaming.
Yes, thank you. No problem. I'm glad it's there. I didn't notice it until I was going to put it. Actually, I brought up links. I brought up all the pages of the things I was going to discuss and do screen shares, but you know how that goes with me, so I just left it alone. So I brought it up before, and that's when I the audio came up. They have some auto plays on there, so I took it off. But yeah, I noticed that it was they had streaming when I went there.
That's a very backwards way of presenting media online. I'm really surprised that they would do that, except that it's Fox.
Yes, yeah, it's Fox. So all right, so let's talk about Trenton Computer Festival.
What is that?
Trenton Computer Festival, it was basically the world's first first computer festival, as far as I'm aware. When did it start? 1976. And, Trenton State College then, it was there for many years, and then for a few years it went to Mercer County Community College when it got too big. And now it's been back at what is now the College of New Jersey, formerly Trenton State College in Ewing, New Jersey. And, like I said, I talked to Dr. Alan Katz, who is a co-founder and chair of TCF. And, in the interview, which I'll put in the podcast, he mentioned that the keynote, which is being done by Joseph Salvo, manager of Complex Systems Engineering Lab, GE Global Research, he's going to be talking about the Internet of Things and how, the Internet is allowing objects to communicate with each other and allowing us to locate them through other devices and control things through other devices. So
I'm excited about that paradigm shift.
Yes.
So excited, in fact, that I have recently joined a startup in Australia.
Interesting.
Have I not talked to you about this?
No. No, we haven't talked since we did the last Technology in the Arts episode. I comment on your Facebook page, and that's the extent of our.
So, yeah, somebody reached out to me on Twitter, of all places, and said, I'm looking for somebody to do design and marketing for my application, my phone application. And I said, sounds fun. and we started to talk. He's in Australia. We have somebody in Arizona. We have a couple people in other places in the world. And we are developing an app that uses geofencing in order to get things done similarly to If This Then That. But the If This part is just wherever you are. So if you understand If This Then That, where, you know, you have input from a service and then output from a service as a result, we are using geolocation as a service as input, and the output can be similar to If This Then That.
Okay.
So, for example, let's say that I wanted to build a neighborhood application in which we could identify all of the dangerous spots due to crime statistics. And as you walk around, you are potentially warned about, you know, bad areas in it, you know, and this exists in other applications, but this application also potentially allows you to set up a game where you say, you know, let's have a scavenger hunt. And if you go to five locations before other people go to the five locations, you get a reward of some kind and you determine what the reward is. Or you could use it as a reminder where if you are driving out and about and you come within proximity of a grocery store, you could be reminded that you wanted to pick up eggs, milk, and bread. Or you could set it up so that between 5 o'clock and 5:15 or 5 o'clock and 6 o'clock, if you walk into the parking lot near your work where you usually typically park your car, you could automatically send an SMS-based message to your significant other without taking your phone out of your pocket. Right?
Yep.
So what it is based on your location and based on time, do the following thing.
Cool.
So stay tuned.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah. It'll be a free app.
Nice.
Yeah.
It sounds better than Meow Meow Beans.
It would have to.
That was in the latest episode of Community. They... Yeah, it's long story.
Community still on the air?
It is. Well, they brought back Dan Harmon, the creator. He's back, and it's funny again.
Okay.
So
I believe you.
But they were beta testing this app, Meow Meow Beans, that allowed people to rate other, like, students to rate professors and professors to rate students, and basically it became like a class warfare type thing. So as often happens in Community, the community college basically became like a desolate war zone with the fives, the people who get the five Meow Meow Beans, they're in the upper echelon society, and, you know, and then the ones are sent out to the Badlands, and it was just funny. So
sometime you'll have to explain to me what happened with Chevy Chase. I don't want to know right now.
Yeah, he there's just some things, and he, you know, he did agree to come back for, he did a voice in the opening episode this year. He came back and did like a hologram thing. There was like a message. He left some like a virtual like tour guide thing, but it was him. And
was it Tupac-esque?
No, it was better actually, but then in the next episode they found out that he died, his character died, so that ends a hope of Chevy Chase returning.
Well, and, unless he comes back as a hologram.
Yeah, they could always go back to the hologram. So getting back to the Trenton Computer Festival. There's also going to be demos of Google Glass and robotics, and there's always the popular vintage computers, which a few years ago, we took tons of pictures. I cannot remember the name of that.
The Altair?
Yeah, there was the it's the altar. I'm trying to remember the name. It's Minute like Marco Marcon Mid-Atlantic Regional Computer. I think that's the name. The group that's there all the time that that showcases the vintage computers.
Okay.
That's always a fun thing.
Yeah.
And
Rich, so are you going to be able to make it this year? No.
I'm going to try to get there in the morning, but unfortunately I won't be able to be there for your presentation because it's my dad's birthday.
Oh. So, well, happy birthday, Dad.
Thanks. So I may go in the morning just to check it out and maybe get some pictures, but unfortunately I won't be able to see your presentation on what is the exact developing your personal brand.
So personal branding has become sort of a cottage industry for me because not many people understand it, and I think even less people have worked on it, at least not consciously. So, for example, I'll give you a little preview of what I'm going to do with those people at that time. If I was to ask you, Brian, to write down 20 saleable terms that gave me some insight into what you are, how you are best represented. Can you give me an example of some of the things you might say? Are you a scholar? Are you a designer? Are you a musician? Are you?
Creative.
Creative, yeah.
Intelligent.
You're intelligent.
Persistent.
I mean, to a fault. Persistent. Yep.
You're
an audiophile.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to break it down into musician and, you know, geek.
You're a geek. Yep.
Speaking of which, sorry, I have a prop.
Oh, good.
You see that?
I do.
Okay.
Beautiful.
Copyright BBC.
Maybe we'll be taken down off YouTube now. So.
Which would be an upgrade to the quality of our production.
Right.
So where was I? Inquisitive.
You're inquisitive. But inquisitive, it's true, you're inquisitive, but inquisitive is not necessarily something that somebody else might be interested in you for being.
Correct.
I mean, I'm interested, but we're friends.
Right.
I'm saying that if somebody was searching you out in order to benefit personally from being connected with you, inquisitive is not necessarily it's an attribute that you have, but it's not necessarily beneficial to others. So
what about analytical?
Yeah, analytical is good. So mine are,
that would replace inquisitive.
Yeah, mine are design, technology, teaching, are my core branding elements, and then there's nutrition. There is frugality. There's ecological concern. There's, imagery. There's, and so on. But the idea of personal branding is sort of getting to the core of what you should be talking about all the time in order to reinforce who you are to the people who want more of that. So, for example, and the other thing is that people tend to think about brand in terms of visual brand. A perfect example is like Target or Walmart, and you think about their logo as their brand, but that is not the core of their brand. The core of Walmart's brand, for example, is low cost and,
lowbrow.
Lowbrow. Yeah. Right. Exactly right. And there are some people who appreciate Walmart for those qualities. Whereas if you go to, let's say anthropology, you know, you're not going because of low cost and you're not going because of low brow. You're going because of quality and you're going because of style, right?
Right.
So the branding for organizations is similar to branding for person, but I don't think that most people think about brand in terms of personal use. They tend to think of it in terms of organizational use. And so once you determine what your personal brand is, it means that it can affect the way that you present yourself. It can affect the conversations that you have. It can affect the social media, the way that you use social media. It can affect the way that you advertise your abilities. It can affect the way that you interact with people around you. It can affect the way that you decorate your walls. So when I do any of those things, I do it in the mindset of design, technology, and teaching, right? So when I put something up on Facebook, it usually has to do with design, technology, or teaching. When I put something on my blog, it has to do with technology, design, or teaching. When I put something on Twitter, technology, design, teaching. When I have a conversation with somebody, usually about technology, design, teaching. And after a while, people begin to think about you personally as a physical personification of those qualities.
Excellent.
Yeah, very excellent. Yeah. So I'm going to try to introduce some people to this concept in Trenton Computer Festival.
Very good. And that is going to be from 3:40 to 4:35 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time.
That's right.
Or Eastern Daylight Time. Right. And that's in room – it's in the new education building, right? 206.
Yeah, I think it's 236 or something.
It says 206 here on the program.
206, there you go.
So, yep. And like I said, it's unfortunate because we're going to be going to have dinner with my parents out in Ocean County. So
maybe we will make an arrangement to get together in the morning then.
Okay. Yeah. Just let me know. I should be free for the most part. Yeah. I might have to just watch Graham for a while. he likes to go all over the place now. So
yeah, that's a good time, man.
Yeah, it is. He is ridiculously clever. I have this USB keyboard that I don't really use it much anymore, but when I had when I was working down in the basement where I'm recording right now, I used to do a lot of my work, and then I decided it was stupid. I was just staying upstairs. But I used to plug the full-size keyboard into my laptop, and it was still down here. And he took it upstairs one day when he was down in the basement with Allison and doing laundry. And he just, like, drags it around, and he'll start banging on it, and he'll be like, email, like he knows, like he's trying to send email. So
sounds like he's your child.
Yes. So, but, and I posted that video on Facebook. It's not public, but, right after Christmas, when I asked him to, I got him a plush TARDIS toy that lights up when you squeeze it. And I asked him to, I'm like, oh, where'd your TARDIS go? Can you go get your TARDIS for me? And he ran off, and he came back with it. He knew what I was talking about. So hopefully he'll be a Doctor Who fan.
I will almost guarantee it.
It's time. So, he just wants to climb on everything now. He's getting to a climbing phase, so. That's where it gets really fun. But, okay, so what else about Trenton Computer Festival? Oh, I guess it's, I think it's $12 at the door. And I think if you get, I'm not sure when the advanced sales end, but I believe it's just $10. And so that's a full day. It's a full day event. There's the flea market component. You have the education component, the sessions.
Is it just me, or is it not 2 days anymore?
It is not 2 days anymore.
Wow.
Because TCNJ took more control over it, and they needed to cut costs.
That's odd.
So, well, you know, they dissolved the nonprofit that was overseeing it for many years, although the college was always involved, but the nonprofit corporation was dissolved because they were just, it was, Dr. Katz explains it a little bit on the,
Well, why don't you introduce Dr. Katz so that, our listeners and viewers can, get the benefit of that conversation.
Hello, this is Brian Kelly. As mentioned earlier in the podcast, I interviewed Dr. Alan Katz, co-founder and chair of the Trenton Computer Festival, for the March 3rd edition of My Tandem with the Random podcast. But I also wanted to share it with our technology and the arts listeners. So here is my interview with Dr. Alan Katz. Enjoy. Let's go back to the beginning. How did TCF come into existence, and what were those early days like?
Well, you know, we never expected this thing to turn out in the way it did. Originally, we had started up the engineering program at the College of New Jersey, and the College of New Jersey, back then it was Trenton State College, had been primarily a teacher's college. And here we're offering a technical program, and we want the public to know about that. And quite frankly, part of the mission of the what was then the state college system is to educate the public. And here was this phenomenal thing occurring, the introduction of microchips that would do the function that had previously been done by a huge computer. You know, it's like taking a refrigerator that was the size of a small computer back then, a big refrigerator, and shrinking it down to something the size of a typewriter, or a large typewriter anyhow, back in those days. And actually, in some of the early personal computers back then were even smaller. So this was this concept of being able to take this what had been a huge occupier of space, very expensive, and start to conceive of doing this at something that was affordable that individuals could use. Really, it's this what we call today the personal computer revolution. And those of us at the college thought that this was something that would be good to tell the public about. And I was friends with another professor, Saul Liebes, who's the co-founder, who taught up at Union College at the time. And he had started up a organization, basically a club for people who were interested in personal computing, and so we kind of, you know, got together, and it was like, putting two chemicals together, and you have this flash. We both realized that this would be something very nice to do, and so we decided to put on what was then the first personal computer festival in the world. And we expected to have a few people show up, and it was this huge crowd we had, and a lot of publicity. Now, the first year we had a reporter, for instance, from Playboy magazine. So this is going to be a toy that maybe if you're rich or well-to-do, well-off, you could use. And the New York Times was there, the first Trenton Computer Festival. Made the first page of the New York Times.
Wow.
We were kind of inundated with a level of success we didn't anticipate.
Right, and now you mentioned the state of computers back then, and obviously there's been an evolution there, and the festival has evolved as well. At the height, it even had to leave the college at one point. Correct.
That's correct. We had Bill Gates, was our keynote speaker on campus in 1989. I remember spending the day with Bill Gates and hiding away in my office.
Wow.
And he was, you know, not a small person in the world at that time. He was probably the richest man in the United States rather than the world back then. Mm-hmm. So it was a very interesting experience to get to meet him and host him. And he's not the way that people think. They think you got this aloof individual, and he seemed to be very concerned about people and wanted to make sure he, you know, talked to people. He didn't, snub them. Because you can see as a celebrity, everyone wanted to, greet him. And I think there's this feeling that some of his wealth would rub off on them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So as he walked through the crowd, you'd have this, you know, influx of people all surrounding him. And I could see how that, you think about it, you just can't do it all the time. It's tiring. But at the same time, he didn't want to, you know, he wanted to be able to talk to people and greet them. You know, it's almost like a politician, but he wasn't a politician. He didn't have to do those things. Right. He really was concerned.
Now, for many years, the festival operated as its own nonprofit educational entity. But now, in recent years, that's been dissolved, and now it's an event that's put on by TCNJ's Electrical and Computer Engineering Department, correct?
Well, it really was that way in the beginning. It wasn't a separate organization at all. We had a bunch of clubs that got together. The college lent its in the framework to take care of the finances and things like that. And organizations are interested in supporting events because it helps them run their own events. It functioned that way for many years. We actually had a problem with the state of New Jersey came in and questioned our tax-free basis. When we were over at Mercer, we were at Mercer County College for a number of years because, as you said, the space around the college in New Jersey just couldn't handle the influx of people around the streets and everything.
Right.
We were running 12,000-15,000 people at our peak coming to the festival on campus. And we moved to Mercer because we could park people in the park around it. A lot of reasons in terms of physical access. We could run the festival without some of the parking issues around the campus that we had at TCNJ. We ran there for a number of years. But when we were there, the Mercer didn't, even though they handled our finances the way we worked it there, they didn't have the same involvement with the festival. And so we formed a corporation. And it was a corporation of corporations to handle the funds. Even though myself as a representative of the College of New Jersey and several of the organizations in the department were always a major force there, we had the separate organization. Now, the problem was that interest in computing got smaller. And as that contracted, and with expenses, a lot of the clubs were concerned that they weren't making, I should use the word making, but they were not getting any revenue to help their organizations. Mm-hmm. So basically we ran into a situation a few years ago where our key clubs basically didn't see the value of working on the festival and continuing the cooperation. And myself and some of the faculty said, we want to keep this thing going. How can we do it? We got some support from the college to ensure that we would not have a problem with exceeding the expenses, let's put it that way. And we restructured the festival from a two-day to a one-day event. But we still have pretty much the same sponsoring organizations. And we also share when we have a surplus in the income with them. So it's pretty much what's happened, as you might say, is we've gone back to what we were in the beginning. The college oversee the finances because we didn't have any formal organization. And And that's what they're doing again. But they're also recognizing that we have several clubs, and some of them were original clubs there who are supporting the festival. And if the festival has a surplus in terms of running it, just like historically what funds we had from the festival were used for scholarships at the college, and to support scholarship activity, the other organizations were helping. They deserve a share too.
So let's finally come around to the current day version of the Trenton Computer Festival. What can attendees expect to experience at this year's event?
Well, there are a lot of things. The festival is much broader in terms of technology. And one of the exciting areas is going to have a huge impact on the public is what's called the Internet of Things. We're now, everyone's familiar with the concept of the Internet and uses the Internet all the time. But the Internet's is used primarily as a way of communicating between people and locating information that relates to people. The idea of the Internet of Things is that you can keep track of objects, and objects communicate with themselves. So, you gotta picture this idea that you can keep track of different objects you have and what the situation in those objects are, and they actually can communicate among themselves using the Internet. So, if you have a car or several cars, those cars become objects, part of the Internet of Things, so you can keep track of those cars. It doesn't have to be cars, it can be boats, it can be airplanes. It can be very simple, small things or small objects. Because today we can fit microcomputers and the electronics in very small objects, you can keep track of those objects. So you might say, as an example, where are my keys? So you can go to the Internet and it'll tell you where your keys are.
Right.
That's maybe an extreme case. There are a lot, many, many applications where the ability to communicate, keep track of objects is very important. I really think it's going to have a tremendous impact on the public, and the public's going to make use of the facilities of the Internet of things the same way it makes use of communicating with people via the Internet today.
And as far as the event itself, it's basically there's the speaking events, the speakers, there's the exhibits, and there's the flea market still. Is that still the format?
Yes.
Okay.
That's the format. As an educational, and it's always been that way. I know a lot of people, they love the ability to buy things, and we provide that. It doesn't have the same impact as it did before eBay and talk about objects, getting objects on the Internet, right?
Right.
eBay had a fundamental impact on flea markets. So there wasn't the same need, but people still like to go and feel and see and touch things and see things and be entertained and buy. And so we have a very nice indoor vendor area where we have vendors and are selling things on it. But we also have many different types of talks. I mentioned our keynote, but that's just one little piece of this. People are interested. One of the things are this object of digital currency, Bitcoin, as it's called. And we have a talk on that, which another thing that have a large impact on people in the future. It's another speaker who's talking about the stock market and using a computer to calculate trends in the stock market. This fellow's been a speaker for a number of years, and he has a real following. He has got techniques that he's developed based on computing, personal computing, of tracking the stock market, which a lot of people are interested in. So, I mean, I pull those things out. There's a whole track of talks relating to robotics, quadcopters. There's a talk on visualizing the brain, which talks about 3D imaging of the brain, how it works, how you can do it. There's all sorts of talks that deal with software. Where can can you go and, you know, get a day of education for $10 in advance, $12 at the door? There's a whole track, basically a short course in object-oriented programming, which starts the very basics and goes up through Java, C++. And it's a one-day short course on everything else. There's a whole track for people who are interested in IT, basically oriented toward IT professionals, but that's one track of 10 tracks. There's another track that is dealing with Microsoft. We have a speaker who's going to talk about the latest things in Office and inside Windows. What are the developments there? We have another one that's going to deals with security, computer security. That's a real concern that people have today. So we have a whole workshop dealing with computer security. Workshop area deals with Google Glass. I don't know. Are you familiar with Google Glass?
Yes.
So we have a talk on that. That's, you know, we're talking about these things that are really have fundamental impact on society. It's hard to believe, but as you noted, I've been involved with the Computer Festival for many years. So I can remember when giving interviews to someone like you and the interview say, you don't mean I'm going to have a computer in my home. I can't believe that. I'm saying this, and it's not a joke. It's absolutely straight. And that was in the beginning. That was after we were running for 10 years. People
right.
really, the concept of a computer in the home was inconceivable to someone like yourself who was interviewing.
I guess the modern day equivalent would be if I said, oh, you're not telling me I'm going to have a computer in my brain, but we're getting pretty close to that as it is. So
I absolutely believe that, or at least the equivalent of a cell phone.
Yeah.
I mean, that has to do with the way people deal with their body. I don't think we're ready for implants, most of us that have been around for a while, but the younger you are, the more you've grown up with the computer, you've grown up with these things, the more that type of concept is acceptable.
Right.
You know, I don't want to be pierced. I see plenty of people around who, including one of my daughters, who doesn't see anything wrong with piercing, right?
Right.
So, and I use that as an example, but this stuff is coming. There's no question in my mind.
Yep.
I'm a believer, and I tend to be a real skeptic. I'm not the type of guy who believes in aliens coming from space and things like that. But I believe if you project what's happening, that you're going to have computers, or computing, and it's the right word to describe it, but that where the electronic machine, the solid-state devices, know they exist.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe the future of the universe, as biological beings, we give rise to silicon beings. It's a whole other story. But I really believe that in not that long, if you look at the evolution and what's happening, if you follow the technology and you look what's happening, it in my mind, it's hard to believe that that's not going to happen. It's not going to be like 2001, how there exactly, but the pieces are there. It's hard to believe it's not going to happen. Yeah.
Right.
People will talk about things, and you say, well, you know, scientifically, I can't project that, but there are things you can project. The integration of biology with people, it's going to be a very interesting time.
I agree. All right, well, again, my guest has been Dr. Alan Katz, professor of electrical and computer engineering at the College of New Jersey and co-founder and chair of the Trenton Computer Festival. And if you want to find out more about the festival, you can check out the links in the show notes. Dr. Katz, thank you for joining me. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
So that does it for this episode, this special episode of Technology in the Arts. And like I said, and we might be back relatively soon with at least a mini season. And so hopefully we'll get that scheduling worked out. In the meantime, you can stay up to date on the latest happenings with the show by visiting technologyinthearts.com, visiting our Facebook page, joining our Google Plus page, our Google Plus circles, follow us at Twitter at tech_arts, subscribe to our YouTube channel, or search for us via your favorite podcatcher.
Yeah.
We hope you'll join us again whenever we return. But until then, for Technology in the Arts, this is Brian Kelly.
And this is John Lemesny. Take care.
The thoughts and views expressed by the hosts of Technology and the Arts do not necessarily represent those of guests of the program. Conversely, the thoughts and views expressed by guests of Technology and the Arts do not necessarily represent those of the hosts. For more information about the podcast you have just heard, please visit Technology and the Arts on the web at technologyandthearts.com.